Returning again to Numbers chapter 12, that portion of scripture that we read earlier, today I want to deal with the subject criticism of Moses. And I want to base my remarks in verse 1 of this chapter. We will be looking at other verses in the chapter. Obviously, the whole chapter has to do with this subject. But look what it says at the beginning of verse 1 of Numbers chapter 12. And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses. And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses. Let's bow in prayer and let's seek the Lord's face as we come to consider God's precious word this Lord's day. Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy precious word that is before us this afternoon. And as we turn to the sacred page, we do pray, Lord, that you would fill us with thy gracious Holy Spirit. We need thee, Lord. We confess this and we cry unto thee. Give us a word in season. We do pray, Lord, that you would bless your word to all of our hearts. We know, Lord, that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. And, O God, we do pray that thy word would profit our hearts this day. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. As Moses led the children of Israel from Egypt to the promised land, he had to endure much criticism. The majority of this criticism came from the children of Israel, the nation of Israel. The children of Israel murmured against Moses in Egypt. They murmured against him at the Red Sea. They criticized Moses at Marah when the waters were bitter. They criticized him when they had no food to eat. Then they murmured against him when they had no water to drink in Exodus chapter 17. They also criticized Moses when he was on the top of Mount Sinai. Indeed, I think it's true to say that no other leader in the history of the biblical record received more criticism from his own people than the prophet Moses. For 40 years, although a faithful servant of God, Moses suffered continual criticism from the people under his leadership. And we have seen that even in the course of these studies over these past number of months. When we come to Numbers chapter 12, Moses is being criticized again. However, this time the criticism is not coming from the nation of Israel. This time Moses is being criticized by his own family. It's hard to endure criticism no matter where it has come, where it comes from, but when it comes from within your own family circle, then of course it's hard to take. And yet that's what's happening here in Numbers chapter 12. Very simply today, I want us to consider this criticism of Moses here in this chapter. And there's a number of things that I want you to notice. And I do pray again that the Lord will take his word and write it upon our hearts and write it upon our souls. The word of God tells us that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. And even a portion of scripture like this is profitable to our souls today. And I pray that the Lord will therefore write his word upon our hearts. And that as we leave God's house today, that we will say it was good to be here, for it was here where we heard the word of the Lord. Now, first of all, I want you to notice the source of this criticism. We've already made mention of it, but take a look again at verse 1. Underline these words. And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses. Let me emphasize again, the source of this criticism here in Numbers chapter 12 against Moses is coming from Miriam and Aaron. And of course, Miriam and Aaron were the brother and sister of Moses. I believe that Miriam was the one who was leading this criticism against Moses at this particular time. Now, that's not to minimize Aaron's part. for he was just as guilty. But the passage, I believe, indicates that Miriam is the one who is leading the charge against her brother in this chapter. You know, this must have been very hurtful for Moses, to have his own sister, to have his own brother turn against him. It was bad enough when the nation of Israel criticized Moses, but when your own flesh and blood criticize you, how discouraging that must have been to this servant of God. It's not that Miriam and Aaron are seeking here to give Moses some good advice. It's not that they are seeking to impart some counsel to their brother. No, the wording, and I want you to notice the wording in Numbers chapter 12, verse 1, clearly indicates that they are rebelling and opposing Moses. They are opposing the leadership of Moses. We're going to say more about that in a moment. Look exactly what it says there in verse 1. It says, Miriam and Aaron spake against. Underline those words. Those are the key words that prove that this wasn't just some good advice that they were giving to Moses. No, they spake against Moses. How this rebellion and opposition must have grieved Moses to his very heart. You see, his own brother and sister turning against him in this way must have grieved him to his very soul. You know, Miriam, and we'll pick her out because we believe that she's the ringleader here. Miriam was not always like this towards Moses. I want you to keep your hand in Numbers chapter 12 there. And I want you to turn back to Exodus chapter 2 for a moment. Here in this portion of scripture, Miriam is doing all in her power to help Moses. You see, there was a time when she helped Moses. A time when Miriam was faithful to God in her service towards Moses. Take a look there at verse 3. And when she, that was the mother of Moses, when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes, and daubed it with slime and with pitch, and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister, underline those words, that's Miriam, verse 4, speaking about Miriam. And his sister, or Miriam, stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. Now we all know the story well of how the daughter of Pharaoh brought Moses into the palace and looked after him. And that's what's going to happen here. But you'll see here that Miriam is watching. And she is observing everything that's going on with Moses as a child in the bulrushes. But look there with me again at verse 6. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept, and she had compassion on him, and said, this is one of the Hebrew's children. Now look at verse 7. Then said his sister, that's Miriam, to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee? And of course we know that Miriam went at that point, and she got her mother, and her mother became the nurse to Moses under Pharaoh's daughter. Here we have Miriam watching out for her brother, making sure that no danger would come to him. And of course, when we consider Miriam and the rest of the story here in the book of Exodus, after the children of Israel come out of Egypt, Miriam is described as a prophetess. And she was used of God among the women of Israel. We're not going to turn to it, but it's Exodus 15, verse 20. You can see that this was a woman in the past who was used of God, who was blessed of God, and who was willing to serve the Lord. And she looked out for her brother. She supported her brother because he was the man of God, because the Lord had set his hand upon him. But now, in Numbers chapter 12, things have changed. In Numbers 12, Miriam is doing the work of the devil, and she here, along with her brother Aaron, and we will not forget Aaron, because he's just as guilty. Though I do believe, when you read the context of Numbers chapter 12, it is Miriam that is leading this revolt. Miriam that's leading this rebellion against Moses at this time. Oh, child of God, we need to be careful when criticizing others. I think that's the lesson here from this passage of Scripture. Wise counsel and godly advice should always be welcomed. And there's not one of us here who can't take wise counsel and godly advice at times. But wicked criticism should never be part of our lives and should never come forth out of our mouths. You see, the problem here is this, that Miriam and Aaron are turning against Moses. They're turning against him. And we're going to see that just in a moment. You see, the Bible has much to say about the unruly tongue. The unruly tongue. Again, keep your hand in Numbers 12 there and turn over just for a moment to James chapter 3. James chapter 3. And it's a familiar passage, I'm sure, to most of us. But here, James, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and this is what James writes. My brethren, verse 1, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. See that? Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm. Whithersoever the governor listeth, even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea, is tamed, and have been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. And Miriam and Aaron were using their tongues most effectively for evil in Numbers chapter 12. Child of God, indeed each and every one of us, whether you're saved or not, is a lesson for us all today. We need to be careful what we say. And when it comes to criticizing others, oh child of God, let it never be once named amongst us. But notice something else here. Turn back to Numbers chapter 12. Not only do I want you to notice the source of this criticism, I want you to notice the subject of this criticism. When Miriam and Aaron criticized Moses, it was a threefold criticism. First of all, they criticized his marriage. Look at verse 1. And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. Now what business it was of theirs, I don't know. But they must have felt it was their business. So they criticized Moses because he married this Ethiopian woman. Then if you take a look there at verse 3, you will notice that they criticized his leadership. Look at verse 2 first of all. And they said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. It's verse 2. Underline it. It says in verse 3, now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. We're going to say more about that in a moment, because verse 3 is very important in the context of verse 2 and this criticism. But you'll see here that they challenge the leadership of Moses. They think that they can do as good a job. In other words, has the Lord only spoken by Moses? Well, he has spoken by us. Look at us. And of course, when they criticized the leadership of Moses, they were criticizing the Lord. They were criticizing the Lord. By criticizing the leadership of Moses, in reality, they were criticizing God, because it was the Lord who had called Moses to be the leader of the nation of Israel. By complaining against Moses and criticizing Moses' leadership, they were undermining the wisdom of God, because the Lord had put Moses into the position that he now occupied. It's obvious here that Miriam and Aaron were jealous of Moses. I believe that is brought out here in this passage of Scripture. God had blessed Moses. God had used Moses in a most unique way. And now they're jealous of him. Child of God, the Bible speaks of our attitude towards those in authority in the church. And we need to be very careful when we criticize those in authority in the church. Keep your hand in Numbers chapter 12. It's important that you see the verses. 1 Timothy chapter 5. Turn over to it here. Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is speaking. And he says in verse 1 of 1 Timothy chapter 5, "Rebuke not an elder." That word "rebuke" there, you should underline it in your Bible. It means to strike upon, or to strike out upon. It means to blame. It means to chide. And then if you take a look there at verse 17, you'll read these words again. Paul dealing with the same subject. "Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine." So you can see there that the Bible is emphasizing that we must respect those in authority in the church. So turn back again to Numbers chapter 12. Something else I want you to see here about this criticism, not only the source of it, and not only the subject matter of it, but I want you to notice the seriousness of the criticism. This criticism of Moses by Miriam and Aaron did not go unnoticed by God. Take a look again at verse 2. At the end of it, we read these words. It says, "And the Lord heard them." The Lord heard them. You should underline those words. The Lord heard Miriam and Aaron criticize Moses. Now, it doesn't say here that the elders of Israel heard them. No doubt they did. But it doesn't say that. Doesn't he say here that their friends heard them? Though they probably did hear them. They probably made that biggest song and dance about it. Everyone in the camp of Israel heard it. But it records here that the Lord heard it. The Lord heard it. The Lord heard Miriam and Aaron criticize Moses. He heard their slanderous words against Moses. And the Lord took action. You see, as we read on down this passage of Scripture here, we can see the action that the Lord took. And when you consider the action that the Lord took, you see here the seriousness of this criticism. The Lord did three things when he heard the criticism against Moses. Did you pick them out as you were reading down the passage? First of all, he summoned Miriam and Aaron to stand before him. Take a look at verse 4 and 5. "And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam, come out ye three unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And they three came out. And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam. And they both came forth." So we can see here the Lord descending in the cloud. This is a serious matter now, because the Lord has got involved and he has summoned Miriam and Aaron to stand before him. There's going to be a judgment here, you see. And you'll notice that when he does this, the Lord vindicates Moses as his chosen servant before them. In other words, the Lord lets them know who's in charge. Take a look there at verse 7. My servant Moses is not so. Who is faithful in all mine house? Look at the end of verse 8. It says, wherefore then were ye, speaking to Miriam and Aaron, were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? Now, we have found out that Moses was not perfect by any means. And as we continue this study, we're going to find out that in a greater way. Moses was not a perfect man, but he was God's man. He made mistakes, but he was the one that God had chosen to lead the children of Israel through the wilderness. And the Lord here is pointing out to Miriam and to Aaron that they must respect him because he is the chosen of the Lord. That's what's happening here. And then you'll notice, not only did he summons Miriam and Aaron to stand before him, not only did he vindicate Moses as his chosen servant before them, but then he condemned and judged Miriam and Aaron for their sin. Did you notice that? Look there at verse 9. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them. Underline those words. And then look at verse 10. And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle, and behold. Now here's one of the reasons why I said at the beginning that I believed that Miriam was the leader here. That she was the one that was spearheading this revolt. Look what it says. Behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. Here we can see the seriousness of the sin of criticism in the eyes of the Lord. He judges their sin and he condemns it. And his anger is kindled against them. And Miriam immediately becomes leprous. Men and women, God looks upon any sin as serious. Now, some people would try to say that, well, they're small sins and they're great sins. And I suppose if we are judging sin, that's the way we judge sin. But in the eyes of God, sin is sin is sin is sin. There's no such a thing as a small sin in the eyes of God. All sin is serious. All sin will be judged by God. Now, you might not think that your sin is as great as somebody else's sin. And you might fool yourself into thinking that God will never judge your sin. But he will. God will judge your sin. The Bible says very clearly that fools make a mock at sin. Friend, we should never make light of sin, no matter how small we may think that sin may be. Perhaps some in the camp of Israel thought here that what Miriam and Aaron were saying wasn't that wrong. Maybe they were thinking, well, it's not a great sin. After all, they're just speaking their mind. They're just getting something off their chest. Oh, but my friend, as God listened in to what was going on, he judged it completely different. You see, God always judges sin differently than we judge it. Because in the eyes of God, sin is serious. The Bible says a fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. Proverbs 18, verse 7. Not some text of Scripture. Oh, my friend, underline it in your Bible. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. And the truth is this, that, and let me speak to those in the congregation who are not saved for a moment.
Someday, God will summons you before his bar of judgment. And the reason why he will summons you to his bar of judgment will be to judge you for your sin.
The Bible tells us, and we have noticed this before in these studies, that God has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness. There's a judgment day coming. And on that day, you will find out, sinner, that the sin that you thought wasn't so serious in the eyes of God was very serious indeed. And if you die without Jesus Christ as your Savior, you will hear those awful words after you're summoned before his bar of judgment: depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Oh, you can see here the seriousness of the sin. Child of God, let us never make light of sin. For God hears and sees us when we speak and when we do. But notice something else here. I want you to notice, fourthly, and this is very important, I want you to notice the supplication after the criticism. Now, under this point, I want you to see, again, the gracious character of Moses. I want you to notice a couple of things here. First of all, Moses did not try to defend himself when Miriam and Aaron criticized him. Did you notice that? Rather, he allowed God to defend him. Take a look again at verse 3. In fact, let us read verse 2 again. And they said, here's the criticism, or part of it. Hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. And then it says this. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. You know, that verse could have read a lot different. It could have read, Moses took action against them. It could have read, Moses was angry and judged Miriam and Aaron immediately. It doesn't say that. It says, now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. And the Lord spake suddenly. You see that? Moses is not jumping in to defend himself, although his brother and sister are unduly criticizing him. You'll notice that Moses allows God to defend him, because in verse 4 immediately it says, and the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses. Oh, child of God, there's one of two ways, one of two things that you and I can do when someone criticizes us. And here's a lesson for us all. Number one, we can try to defend ourselves. Or number two, we can leave it with the Lord and allow the Lord to defend us, whatever way he thinks fit. And you'll notice here that Moses forgave them and prayed for them when they repented. Again, we can see the meekness of this man. Look with me there at verse 11. And Aaron said unto Moses, alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not the sin upon us. This is after Miriam has been turned into a leper. Look what it says. Wherein we have done foolishly. Here we have Aaron confessing their sin. And wherein we have sinned. Let her not be as one dead, of whom the flesh is half consumed, when he cometh out of his mother's womb. Then look at verse 13. Underline it. And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, heal her now. O God, I beseech thee. I just want to stop there for a moment. What a lesson we can learn, child of God, when people criticize us. And we will be criticized. But we need to learn from Moses how to react when people criticize us, when people speak against us. Moses here is a wonderful example. And here we have him, and instead of raising up the fists, instead of getting ready for a fight, He lets the Lord sort the problem out. And then he forgives those that had spoken against him. And not only does he forgive them, but he prays for them. Underline it. He prays for them. Child of God, you ever pray for your enemies? You ever pray for them? You ever pray for those who despitefully use you? Do you ever pray for those who criticize you and fight against you? Well, that's what Moses is doing here. That's what Moses is doing here. Oh, child of God, let us always have a forgiving spirit. And if we find it hard to forgive those who trespass against us, then let us pray more earnestly that God will give us a forgiving spirit. Remember this, and I'm sure that you've heard this saying many times, but it's true, and we can see it here. Meekness is not weakness. And as you read through the Word of God, not only in the New Testament, but also in the Old Testament, God's servants are exhorted. God's children are exhorted to demonstrate the characteristic of meekness in their lives. Matthew 22, verse 26. We read these words. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. In Psalm 25, in verse 9, we read. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. Psalm 34 and the verse 37 rather, in verse 11 it says, but the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. And of course, when we read Paul's epistles, we find that same exhortation. Galatians 5 verse 23, 1 Timothy 6 and verse 11. Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, exhorting God's saints to be meek, to be gentle, to be gracious. Now, I must admit that it's something we all need to pray about, preacher alike. But oh, I pray that the Lord will speak to our hearts, all of our hearts today. You see, those who demonstrate the quality of meekness in their lives follow the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn over to Matthew chapter 11 for a moment and look with me there at verse 29, a text of scripture I'm sure you know well, but I want you to underline it in your Bible. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. For I am meek and lowly in heart. Matthew 21 verse 5. Again, underline it. In your Bible it says, tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee. Speaking of Christ, meek. And sitting upon an ass, and a colt the foal of an ass. Oh, the Lord Jesus Christ was one who was meek. When he was reviled, he reviled not again. Isn't that a wonderful truth to end on today? We pray that we would be more like Christ. Well, study the life of the Lord Jesus. And you'll find that he was a man who demonstrated meekness. He was meek. Oh, I pray in these days that the Lord will help us to shine forth in our testimonies, child of God. Those of us who are saved, especially God's people, we need to demonstrate these characteristics in our lives. But if you're not saved today, oh, come to Christ and trust him. May God bless these few thoughts and bless this passage of Scripture to all of our hearts. Let's all pray.